Last week we concluded our series in the book of Acts, learning about how God can work through his followers if they are open to hearing him speak and allowing him to be Lord of their lives. This week we begin a new series in the Psalms, and there is a lilac-colored insert that was in your bulletin last week, but there's also some on the table in the foyer if you want. It'll track where we're going with the book of Psalms, and we're not going to hit every single Psalms. In fact, we're going to do a little bit of puddle jumping as we go through them. We're going to also have some more sharing as the weeks go on. So if you do have a psalm that's dear to your heart and you'd like to share it with the community, please let us know. We would love to hear from you, from your perspective. We're just only looking for anything between, 3 and 5 minutes. It'd be great for us if you'd share some of your wisdom and some of your experiences with us. That'd be very much appreciated. Now, the book of Psalms isn't meant to be read like a news column in a newspaper. In fact, it's meant to be read more like a book of poetry, even indeed like Austin is read, right? Although filled with creative language, at times raw emotion, the book is filled with deep truth. The Psalms are the most widely read book of the Bible, believe it or not. The early church read the Psalms not only as a book of poetry, but it was used as their psalter or their hymn book. So it was used in worship and as a book of reflection. One of the questions that one of my favorite artists asks, Bono says this: why do we need art? Why do we need the lyrical poetry of the Psalms? And I love how he expressed that as he was having a conversation with Eugene Peterson. He says, it seems to me that one of the only ways we can approach God is if we're honest. Through metaphor and through symbol, that's one way of being honest. So art becomes essential, not decorative. Think about that for a minute. As an artist, he uses metaphor and symbol to communicate truth with the living God. And so it's not decorative. It's not flowery speech, as beautiful as some of his artistry is, I would call it, is. It's essential for him. It's not decorative. Eugene Peterson says, imagination is a way to get inside the truth. And the imaginative poetry resident within the Psalms are just one of those vehicles to get inside the truth. The early church used the Psalms as a prayer book, I said. Once again, Bono got it right when he said, praying isn't being nice before God. It isn't being nice before God. It's not about being smooth or even pretty. And some of us do pray well and are very good at using amazing language in prayers. I really appreciate how Karen James leads us in prayer. But prayer is not about being smooth, even pretty. It's not about being nice before God. It's actually about being, here we have it again, it's about being honest, vulnerable. I love how he used these words. It's about being porous, like a sponge. It's about being open. What he's talking about here is being vulnerable before God. Here I am. The Psalms allow for that. That's the beauty of the Psalms. It allows for the whole range and spectrum of human emotion that we experience. It allows us to be real before the Creator. And Jesus says, know the truth. It will set us free. God wants truth from us. And it indeed sets us free. The Psalms are instructive in helping us articulate truth in our experiences. The Psalms speak with an honesty that doesn't shy away from our human experience without overindulging in the feelings that can actually take us deep into the mire again. It always points us back to God, the one who gave us these emotions. The Psalms give us recognizable language that gives us license or permission to feel. And some of us are deep feelers. I'm one of those people. It acknowledges the stuff that we all feel, but many of us don't feel the freedom to talk about. Whether it's anger or sadness or joy, or even happiness and jubilation, hopelessness and disappointment, these are all parts of the human experience. And the Psalms validate these experiences, all within context of God's revelation. Now, the early church saw Psalm 1, which is the psalm that we'll briefly touch on today, The early church saw Psalm 1 as the preface or the beginning to the whole Psalter, to the whole hymn book called the Psalms. Jerome, who was an early church father, describes Psalm 1 as the great door of a whole building. That's a neat image. Psalm 1 is the great door of a whole building, with the Holy Spirit being the key for that door. How important. We need to remember that we read with the Spirit within us. Many of the Psalms that follow seem to enter into a dialogue or a conversation with Psalm 1, so that's interesting to know. So as we read Psalm 1, keep that in mind. These other Psalms question and search for meaning in the midst of life's wide range of experiences. So as we read the Scriptures together, and we will do that this morning, in fact, we're going to read it in two different translations. The first one will be in the NIV, or the TNIV. The next one will be in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. He renders it and translates it into contemporary language. I want you to listen to what the Psalter is saying, what God is saying to us through the passage. And so we pick up Psalm 1 as today's text. And if you haven't yet opened that Bible in front of you, or the one that you brought with you to the Scriptures, please do so now. I invite you to open up the Word. You can find Psalm 1 in your pew Bible on page 803. It's the first of the Psalms. Now, as I read the words, if you feel comfortable doing this, feel free to close your eyes. If you don't, that's okay. Just let your ears guide your mind as you're attracted to the turn of a phrase or the way a word jumps out at you. Maybe something that strikes you as particularly interesting. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. That's Psalm 1 in the NIV. I also really like how Eugene Peterson renders the Hebrew in his paraphrase, the Message. And you have to understand that he doesn't translate the Scriptures word for word, the way the NIV does, or the NRSV. Peterson takes the idea or the spirit of what is being communicated and he turns it into contemporary English. Let's take a moment to read it together. Once again, if you would like, I encourage you to close your eyes so you can just hear the lyric. And if not, just let your ears guide your mind as you're attracted to a turn of a phrase. Or if you like a word that jumps out at you, just pay attention to those things. Psalm 1 from The Message. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are merely windblown dust, without defense, in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road that you take. The road they take is Skid Row. This is the reading of the Lord's Word. Thanks be to God. Recently, the City Hall in Vancouver has been planting thousands of brand new trees all over the city. Our own Craig Pagans, who grew up here, who came to Christ and faith here, he's now at 10th, he was featured on CBC in a report talking about that very project. For many of us, we might know that Craig is part of a team of urban tree waterers, yes, we pay them, who work with the city arborists in the Vancouver Parks and Rec. And these 4,000 young trees need a lot of water, more than our hot, dry summers have been able to supply of late. And so residents have been encouraged to help out by topping up the 2,000 water bags that have been attached to these young saplings. And that's in Vancouver. I'm not sure what Burnaby is like or even farther out. But in Vancouver, we have 2,000 water bags that are on these new fruit trees. These young trees require quite a bit of water to encourage the roots to grow farther down. Each bag holds enough water for about 11 hours per day. And, you know, it's just ironic that in a city that gets water like rain for 8 or 9 months of the year, we have to do this during the summer months. But, you know, we've faced almost drought conditions where we don't get rain, and it really does parch these trees and these brand new trees. So I'm glad that they have a plan to make that happen. Psalm 1 talks about those who find sustenance in God's word the same way a growing tree depends upon large amounts of water. They, like such a tree, become healthy so much that they bear much fruit, never withering. And they blossom constantly, and we cannot live like those trees who are in drought. And Jesus did say, we cannot live on bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. Now, Charlene and I have had to take special attention to our hanging basket of flowers at our house. The annuals have withered on the branch. The whole basket looks like it needs a haircut, and I think Charlene just did that. But by watering it properly and by pruning it a little bit, it has spurned the actual basket to come to life once again, and it's starting to look great again. The geraniums are coming back, and so it's looking like it's got some attention. God has, in his word, something that covers every aspect of human life. How we are with God, how we are with others, friend or enemy, how we are and how we treat ourselves, whether it's our health or what we'd consider our wealth, and everything else in between. And as we depend on the God of the Bible through Scripture, we invite Yahweh, the great I Am, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to participate in our lives. Jim Houston of Regent College says this. He says, today this image finds fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. The image of the tree going and tapping into this water. Eugene Peterson says it's a tree that's been replanted in Eden, you know, a verdant garden that is never without life. Jim Houston says, today this image finds fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. His good news fulfills the righteousness of the law. His Spirit writes the law upon our hearts. He is the water that sustains our transformed and transforming lives. And as we obey God's word, we live lives of faithfulness and lives of faith. So the question as we close this portion of the service is this. Do you feel dry? Do you feel parched? Do you feel thirsty? Maybe something that goes deeper than just what a mere glass of water can provide. Psalm 1 invites us to put our roots down into the instruction and relationship that God offers to us through his word. Over the summer months, by reading these psalms, let us delight in these scriptures, the psalms. Let us make these scriptures a vital part of our life of faith. Let us, as we munch on breakfast first thing in the morning, let us also consume and take in and find sustenance in God's word, just like we like to fill our bodies and our stomachs with food. Let's nourish our hearts and our minds with the reading of God's word as well. And as we do so, may we find nourishment, may we find vitality, may we find fresh perspective. I constantly need that fresh perspective from the word. Through these words from the worship of the worship hymnal, from the worship life of God's people, we too can learn to carry and our burdens and cry out to God in the personal and broader crises of life. Take these concerns, especially as we hear more trouble in our world, we can take these right to the foot of the cross, right into the throne room of our God. We can learn to place trust in the God of steadfast love and faithfulness. And these hymns of thanksgiving and praise can help us give voice to our prayers. So I encourage you, as you begin your days or end your days, to read these psalms and use them as prayers and responses to the world around us. Let us use them in ways that declare hope and not despair. What an adventure awaits us this summer as we continue this journey through the Psalms. Would you pray with me as the worship team comes forward to lead us in our last song? Gracious God, we thank you so much for your living word, ever evolving in our lives. Lord, it doesn't sit still. It never returns empty to you, Lord. It's always molding us and transforming us the way a carpenter's hammer and chisel does, the way that you form pottery, Lord. You are forming us with your word. And so we thank you for that. Lord, you indeed are the living word. And so we submit to you, Lord, as we read your words to us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.